Episode 69 of the Vancouver Tech Podcast. I'm your host, Drew Ogrizek.
I've got a couple of special promotions. One, we have a microservices and event workshop brought to us by Scott Bellware, and that's coming to town Saturday, April 29th and Sunday, April 30th. This is a Ruby microservices workshop. Should be really awesome. The first half of the first day, I believe, is a free event open to everyone, but the rest of it, there's, I think it's a couple $100. Anyway, we have a free ticket to give away. There is a tweet that you can retweet with an @VancouverTechPodcast. Make sure to take a look in the show notes down below and retweet that for a chance to win a free ticket. We also have a giveaway for a VR workshop, April 1st and April 8th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. This is over at Blessin Hall, SFU in Burnaby. Tickets are going for $120, but make sure to tweet your most pressing VR question along with the link down below, which is to designlablive.com/VR-workshop and @VanTechPodcast and @DesignLabLive for a chance to be entered in a drawing for a free ticket.
And we're here with our special guest today, John Richardson, founder and CEO of Athello.
Good morning, Drew.
Good morning, John. Thank you very much for joining us.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Why don't you tell us a little bit, we'll start out maybe, a little bit about Athello. What is it? I notice you have two sites here, Athello.com and Athello.org.
So Athello is a social enterprise dedicated to new ways of doing group decision making using online technology. And we have two websites because we're a mix between a commercial enterprise and a nonprofit organization. We have a kind of a unique technology for enabling groups to make complicated decisions. So our commercial enterprise sells that technology into government and large enterprises, and our nonprofit organization provides it for free, actually, to citizens organizations that want to engage citizens in doing democratic decision-making, so kind of policy-oriented work.
What sort of groups would benefit from this sort of decision-making, and do you have some examples of some decisions that we might make through this?
Sure. So there are basically two areas of decision-making, internal to organizations and external. And we've done a lot of work, for example, with the federal government in, ironically, internal decision-making around real property investments, staff action planning, optimizing operations, client feedback. So engaging sometimes small teams, sometimes larger groups in reaching decisions around strategy or high value decisions like investments. And we also work in the public space. So we've done public consultations for nonprofit organizations and governments, regional governments around public infrastructure projects. My special interest is engaging citizens in public policy conversations as a way of generating mandates for social change. So, for example, we did an engagement with an organization in Nova Scotia called Make Democracy Better, and they hosted an online conversation proposing reforms to voting systems, to voter engagement, and they used Athello to develop a policy position, which they then used that to lobby government for change.
Okay, so which sort of, which stage in the discussion would you bring Athello into?
In a public conversation, usually we would like to work with an organization that has a mission, that has a goal. They want to generate some kind of mandate for government, but they need the tools to show government that this is what citizens really want. So we can work with them, breaking down a public policy issue into different options and issues and criteria, and Athello is able to take that information in, and it builds an online environment that people can participate in, talk about different issues, vote on different aspects of things, and it will generate, in the example of a public policy conversation, a policy document that they can go to government and say, we have a mandate for you to act on this issue, and here's what you should do.
Okay, so putting this into context in Vancouver, for instance, there are a number of things that I think come to mind. One, we have a fair bit of homelessness and people on the streets that I may be concerned about or interested in helping or helping to drive some sort of change. And I'm not completely sure what that change would be. Would Athello be able to help me with that. Another one would be, let's say, the increase in prices of real estate. And people have said, you know, there's a lot of foreign investors and that's what's driving the prices up, or things like that. But is housing actually affordable? And I want to find out a little bit more about this. Are there policies that should be put in place? And then another one, I've heard people talking about prohibition when it comes to marijuana or hard drugs as well, heroin and those types of things. And I'm interested in finding out about what people want, what people think, and what some of the alternatives might be, because I'd like our city to be better. Can I use Othello?
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, on the marijuana debate, we actually have a working demo of how Othello could be used to generate a policy platform for government to act. And it works by, you break it down into different issues. You know, you might have issues around possession, licensing, fines, mounts, and all these different issues have different options or alternatives. There's lots of scenarios that could come out of that. And Othello will find the right combination of options that will get a broad level of public support.
Now, what about in a completely different context? So let's say I'm a student in a high school and I want to do a project to really either impress my teachers or maybe drive a change in my school. And I think that, you know, the principal and the teachers are the ones making the policy, and I'd like the students to have more of a say. Would this be an interesting tool to use?
Absolutely. The whole mission of Othello is to advance new forms of governance using internet technology. And if your student is trying to create policy and rally other students for changes in school, then it's kind of a democratic engagement, right? It's kind of an exercise in self-governance. And Othello could be used by the student body to make specific and concrete proposals for change to the administration.
Okay, very interesting. So, John, as founder and CEO, how long has Othello been around, and how did you get into this? What was the sort of driving motivation behind it?
Well, we started working on it about 5 years ago, and started first as a nonprofit organization. And, you know, it emerged that we had actually a unique take on the issue and a unique type of technology. So, and we realized it's actually kind of difficult to get funding as a nonprofit to build new kinds of technology. But on the other hand, we realized, oh, this actually has some commercial application. So we started the for-profit as well, and that's kind of the symbiotic relationship. The origin story, ultimately, I would say, is trying to find a way of impacting democracy, improving democracy, thinking about, well, what is democracy going to look like in 10 or 15 or 20 years, or even more importantly, what does it need to look like if we're going to address the major challenges facing society today? Climate change, international conflict. And I think the current models of government that we have, you can look at them as old technology. You know, it's a 300-year-old system. We vote every 4 years. It's almost a binary choice. Then you have this small group of people get up in a building long way away and they yell at each other for 4 years. And then we revisit the issue, right? Seems like pretty low-tech opinion aggregation technology. And you can there's lots of discussion about proportional representation and these other things, but you can look way even beyond that. And what would it look like if we really harness the power of the internet to intelligently focus the wisdom of large groups? And what could that look like? And so that's the mission, thinking about what it could look like and seeing if we can start working on it now. And I come to the issue as kind of a social activist. Before Othello, I was very interested in finding ways to create systemic change. And I started another organization called Pivot Legal Society. And Pivot's mandate was to use the law strategically, and it still is, it's still a going organization, to advance the interests of marginalized communities, sex workers, drug users, homeless people. And again, in the same way as Othello, try to find hot button points of change, pressure points, where if you push here, you can have a disproportionate impact on the system. So the law is one way, because you can generate precedents that have global impacts. And I think decision-making is an even deeper one. If we can find new ways of doing group decision-making, you know, which hasn't really changed for thousands of years. You get people in a big room and they yell at each other and they try and vote on something. We can find a new way of doing group decision-making. Think of the ramifications. Everything that's happening in the world comes down to some kind of group decision at some point or another. If we could raise the IQ of those group decisions, I personally think that more than any technology advance, more than sequestering greenhouse gases or new ways of batteries, etc., if we could do better group decisions, that would have enormous implications.
What, I guess, are some of the tools or some of the ways that you see it being possible to raise the IQ of those groups making decisions?
I think we have to look at the latent intelligence of groups. You know, I like to come back to this example. It's called the jelly bean example. And going back to the early 20th century, there were these county fairs, and you'd have jelly bean contests where you'd have this giant jar of jelly beans, and people would be asked to guess how many jelly beans were in the jar. And guesses would range all over, right? And there's some would get closest and they would win. But what they found when they went back and looked at all the contest entries, that the average guess in each jelly bean contest was almost always within one or two jelly beans of the real number. Somehow that group, they seemed to make mistakes equally on the top and bottom side of the jelly bean guessing contest. And, you know, it's a very simple kind of way of aggregating group intelligence. You're just taking the average. But somehow the group is more intelligent than any individual. You know, you see this a phenomenon in stock markets as well. Groups, if you aggregate their intelligence in the right way, can be very, very, very smart. Now, the way we do democracy now is not the smart, not the best way of aggregating group intelligence, and leads to some pretty stupid outcomes. Well, look at what's happening in the United States yesterday, right? The healthcare stuff. But if we could parse the problem in a different way, perhaps we could have a more effective way of focusing and harnessing the collective intelligence of groups. And if we could do that and focus it on complex problems that really are demanding attention, what is possible? I think we could have some very smart answers coming up.
Now, are there sort of risks, I guess, involved with aggregating a group consciousness or mind or thought process toward a single thing? What sort of steps would you have to put in place to ensure that you're giving the group the right information they need to make a decision while not cherry picking the right information you want them to have to make the decision you want them to make?
Well, transparency is very important, and providing people with the tools to add new information, right? You know, if there's this missing information, that you enable people to add more information that's missing to host conversations. That is an important point. And that, you know, it's one of the things that Othello does. You can present information for people to evaluate, but there's always threads for people to add more information and discuss things. So transparency is very important. And not only transparency about information, but transparency about the results. You don't want to take people's information, go off into some black box or hidden back room and calculate it and then show them what the answer is. The whole process has got to be transparent so people can see how their input generated whatever outcome you're arriving at. Because if people don't have that visibility into the process, they won't buy into it. They'll think, oh, there's something corrupt here, right? And, you know, in many situations looking around today, there's a limit of, like, improper influences happening, right? So I think transparency, fairness is very important. People need to have an equal amount of influence on a process. And, you know, luckily with mathematics and algorithms, you can do that. But in traditional processes, it's very easy to lose that principle of fairness. So those are two, I think, key aspects that need to be woven in to a group decision process.
Fairness is an interesting concept, I think, and we hear it a lot. Is fairness a realistic sort of quality, I guess, to seek?
Absolutely. And I think it deserves a lot of thought about what is fairness. And actually, Othello arises out of, I would say, the work of a philosopher called John Rawls. He's a 21st century philosopher, and he wrote a book called Justice is Fairness. And his idea is that the social contract, you know, rules by which we govern each other, the fundamental principle has got to be fairness. And core to that fairness is, I would say, equality in the distribution of influence. Or, in other words, equality in the distribution of satisfaction. We all have to be roughly similar in our levels of satisfaction with an outcome. If you have one group that's super happy and one group that's super pissed off, then that's not fair. And you're going to have dissension and social contracts will break down. So you have to find ways of, you know, aggregating people's input effectively and also arriving at outcomes where people are similar in their levels of satisfaction.
With internet and technology being where it is today, I often think that the average level of intelligence has gone up quite a bit. I mean, certainly people have access to virtually all information at their fingertips, something that 20 or 30 years ago was much more of a dream than it is today as a reality. With that in mind, if people are genuinely getting more intelligent, having access to more information, do we need
government? Do we need this sort of decision making? Can this be automated? And is that what Othello aims to do?
Yeah, we're always going to need some kind of collective decision making process. You know, we have rules by which we agree to govern each other. And I think technology has a very important way, a very important role in maturing and evolving the systems by which we collectively decide. I think this is simply a fact that the systems that we have right now are taking, and I agree, a lot of very intelligent people with access a lot to information, and they're funneling them through very stupid decision-making processes. Like, for example, Brexit. Are you yes or no Brexit? Right, super complicated issue with so many facets and dimensions, but it got broken down to a yes or no question. Well, you're not focusing the intelligence of large groups if you give them such a coarse-grained kind of problem to work on, right? You're going to end up in disaster, and disaster is what happened.
It reminds me a little bit of Wikinomics. So this, I think a professor from University of Toronto and from LSE got together and they kind of co-authored a book. And one of the things that they mentioned was you'll have specialists maybe working in a technology company. You have five of the world's brightest physicists, for example, working on a particular problem. And they go to a room or an office. You know, every day it's those same five people in that same office trying to solve this difficult problem. And of course, because of NDA agreements, they're unable to talk about it with even their spouses or other people. And so you have these only these five people trying to solve this one very difficult problem. And they might not even care about it. They're just getting paid and they just happen to be brilliant. Whereas when you take a problem and you open it up to the world, you know, it could be a fourth grade student or a retired farmer that really cares and knows about this problem and seeks it out and wants to solve it for the satisfaction of solving it and has the knowledge and the passion to support that. That's kind of an interesting thing. Is that the sort of problem or is that sort of scenario something that you see as being true in policymaking?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think there's a couple of concepts. I think Clay Shirky coined this term that was called the cognitive surplus. You have all this processing power out there in the public, ideas, you know, special perspectives on problems. There's a lot of capacity, but we concentrate power in the hands of a very few, and they're siloed in a way, right? And I don't know where I read it, but it said, perspective is worth 50 IQ points. A little bit of distance from problem, you know, can give a real broader vision of the situation. And sometimes very smart people can make very stupid decisions because they've gotten so close to something that they can't see the forest for the trees anymore. So opening it up, allowing more voices to come in, argue about it, have an atmosphere of discourse, and then an efficient way, effective way of aggregating all of that intelligence. That is the way to really solve problems, not just to hand them over to an elite group of problem solvers and say, okay, we'll wait till you're done and then we'll do what you say. You know, that's not the right way.
What about the argument that, you know, people who don't know maybe don't deserve to make those decisions?
You know, not everyone is going to be an expert on every issue, right? And I think we have to look at two types of intelligence that people have. One is the intelligence to, you know the answer to a problem. Right. And you know, I have certain areas in which I'm expert in and I can, you know, speak well in those, but most I'm not. I'm not for example, a doctor, but I know how to identify a good doctor. I talk to people. What is their reputation? Right. I look at their qualifications. I look at information about them. I can come up with a pretty high degree of certainty. Well, so who are the bad doctors and who are the good doctors? If I talk to lots of people, and our society is based around collective processes that identify experts. We're all really good at maybe sometimes not knowing the answer to a question, but finding the person who will know the answer to a question. And that's another type of wisdom that is, I think, vastly overlooked in society. And so I think any kind of process around aggregating collective intelligence has to factor that in as well. Not only asking people what they think is the answer, but asking who do they trust and what kind of factors they look for in identifying someone that might know the answer.
So if I wanted to get started with Othello, what would I do?
Well, if you're an organization that's thinking of doing a public consultation or an internal consultation, just send us an email. We're always interested in hearing different kinds of challenges, and we're happy to talk. And if you're a nonprofit organization in particular, same process. Send us an email, and we, for nonprofit organizations that are doing public consultation process will provide the technology for free.
What if I'm a developer and I'm interested in hacking away at some of the code behind the scenes?
Well, give us a shout too, because we're looking at open sourcing our core algorithm in the near future, and we're going to be launching an API into that algorithm. So if you're interested in the mathy side of things, the API side of things, you know, democracy as infrastructure type of questions, love to talk to you.
What's the decision process behind open sourcing that algorithm?
You mean, why are we doing that?
Sure.
Democracy has to be shared. You know, we have to have transparency into the interior processes of how these algorithms might work. You just can't be a black box where you trust something is going to work. And also for security, unless something is open, you don't know the bugs. And you need to have these things open so people can, you know, kick it around and try and break it and do that lots and lots and lots. And only when everyone's really given it, tried to break something and failed, can you see, oh, okay, well, it's probably pretty solid then.
Sounds like a very exciting and ambitious project. And I know a lot of people would be really keen on getting their hands on it. And that it's coming, going to be open source at some point is just an added bonus there. How long do you anticipate before that starts to happen?
We're probably looking at this year, and it might be as early as the summer.
Very cool. Are there any specific skill sets you're looking for in people?
Well, it depends on what level people would like to engage. You know, our core algorithm is in C++. Our API will be in Elixir. So those are kind of some of the core skills. And we're also, you know, and also the full range of skills that you are looking for in an online platform, you know. User testing and design and those kind of things as well.
So if people want to reach out to you, John, or to Othello, are you involved in any meetups? Is it easy to get a hold of you? Where would they go?
Well, I think probably the easiest way is just send me a note on our website. There's a bunch of different ways to get in contact. Or just send me an email directly. It's john@othello.org or othello.com. Both come to me, and I'd love to hear from you.
And that's Othello, E-T-H-E-L-O. Can you tell me a little bit about the name?
Sure. It's actually an ancient Greek word. And it means intention. It's the ancient Greek word for intention. And that is the nature of this algorithm. How can we identify the shared intention of a group? How can we optimize that, find out what is the real will of a collective? And so that is what Othello is trying to do.
Well, John Richardson, CEO of Othello, thank you very much for being on the Vancouver Tech Podcast. I've learned a lot today, and Othello is definitely a project for me to watch.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Vancouver Tech Podcast.
Check out our website, vancouvertechpodcast.ca.
Rate and subscribe on iTunes. Much appreciated.
You can follow us on Twitter, VanTechPodcast.
Feel free to leave some comments below.
You can also hit us up on the YVR Dev, the Vancouver Tech, the VanTech Slacks. I'm at James.
And I'm at Drew. Special thanks to Same Room for hooking us up with an integration that allows us to have a cross-team Slack channel, VanDevs.
Do you have a meetup that you want us to plug? Email us, show@vancouvertechpodcast.ca.
Music by A Shell in the Pit from the game Parkitect. See you at one of the meetups
around town.